Begin the current daven, sentence by the Zohar daf nun hey. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the discussion of the previous daf regarding the Mishnah that described the response of the Talmid Chacham of Tzadikim to the non-Jewish philosophers who had these questions about if Hashem so despises Avodah Zarah, why is it that he contends with it so much? So the Gemara tells that Shaul Agrippas Sar Tzeva, Agrippas, who was the general, he was a non-Jew, he was in charge of all the armies, and he was in the times of Agrippas HaMelech, the king Agrippas, but this was not the king, this was Agrippas, he had the same name, who is the general. He asked Esther Gamliel following question. Ksib b'Torah Asim says, "Yeterin devarim ki Hashem likecha esh oichluhu," because Hashem, your God, is a consuming fire, ilkana, a jealous God. Klum miskana, is anyone ever jealous? Elochacham achacham, a smart person is jealous of another smart person. Begiber begiber, a strong person is jealous of another strong person. V'asher b'asher, who's a wealthy person jealous of another wealthy person? So it seems to be that Avodah Zarah is pretty substantive. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is jealous of it, must be because it's something chas v'shalom like Hashem. So Malai, Yisrael Gamliel said to him, no. I'll give you a parable what this could be compared to, which is that the interpretation of Elkanah is not in the context of jealous, but more vengeful, more like upset. La'adam shenasa ishal ishtai. Regarding a man is married to a woman, and he marries another woman in addition to his first wife. So if chashuva mimeno, if the second wife that he married now is more distinguished than the first wife, se'ein miskana ba, so his first wife is not so bothered to hate her husband because of the new woman that he brought into the marriage. Because, okay, at least she is distinguished. But if pechusa mimena, if the new wife is lower, less than, it's a downgrade from her. So miskana, so she's vengeful. She's upset to hate her husband, but because of that second wife, what are you doing introducing a lower status into the family? And that's what it means that Hashem is elkana. It means to say that he's vengeful, saying, "What are you doing? You have me, your bein shalom, the creator of the world, the master of everything, and you go and you take this piece of wood." That's what it means. Hashem is elkana. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says that Amalei Zunin Rabbi Kiva, Zunin, who was a Jew, said to Rabbi Kiva, says, "Libi v'libcha yada, my and your hearts know that avodas kechavim less b'mashasha." We know there's no substance to avodas zarah, but I have a question. V'kechazina, but we see gavri da azli kimitvari. We find people who are limping and they have limbs that are out of place because of their sicknesses, and they go to a house of idol worship. And they come back, and their limbs are back in. They're now healed. My tema, what's the reason? We know that it can't be the Avodah Zarah. So Amalei Rabbi Kiva said to him, "Emesh l'cha mashal ma'adam," he says, "I'll give you a parable what this can be compared to. La'adam neman shahayi be'ir." There was a very trustworthy and faithful person in the city. V'chol b'nei iroi, and all the people of the city, hoy mafkidin etzle shle be'edim. They would deposit their stuff by him without even witnesses, because he was very trustful. U'va'adam echad v'hifkid le'be'edim. And along came one person, and when he gave it to him to deposit, he had witnesses to verify, to show that he deposited with him. Now, pam achad, shachach. One time, this guy who only would deposit with witnesses, he forgot himself, and he deposited by this guy without witnesses. So Amalei Ishtei, so the wife of this custodian, the one who had watched things, said to him, let's deny it now, because he always comes with witnesses. Now he doesn't have witnesses, let's deny this deposit that he gave us. So he said to his wife, because this fool does inappropriately, we shall lose our faithfulness. Everyone always trusted us. This guy doesn't. Now the one time he doesn't, we should go ahead and now lie and lose our faithfulness. Afkach says also over here. He said, I'll explain to you what happens. Yusurin, a person's afflictions, where if this guy is limping and his arm is broken, at the time when it's being sent on a person, the heavenly court make the affliction swear that they're only going to go and afflict the person on that day, and they're only going to leave on that day. And at that moment, through that person, meaning through that doctor, through that medicine. Now, when the time comes, which is preordained, that this affliction is going to leave the person, and it's not by chance, the Satan knows that, and he gets this person to go to the house of idol worship at that time. So Amr Yisur and the affliction say, justice would be that we shouldn't leave now, because if we leave now, we're giving the impression that it's not by desire doing it. But they go back and they say, what? Because this fool is doing inappropriately, which, yeah, this is preordained. Your Satan is getting you to do it right now, so it should appear to you, but, so on the Nabat Shabbos, so we should forsake our oath? And but really, it's not the Avodah Zarah. It's giving the appearance, but this would have happened even had this person not gone to the Avodah Zarah. Behind Nomer Yechon, this is what Rabbi Yechon said, Ma'idach Seh, what does it mean in Pasuk in the Varm that says Hashem will send V'chaloyim Ro'im V'nemanim, evil and faithful ailments. What does that mean? It means Ro'im B'shlichusim, they're bad in their agency, meaning because they afflict the person's body, V'nemanim B'shavasim, and they're faithful in their oath, where Hashem had made them swear how long they're going to be there, and they keep it even though it's going to give the appearance that it's that doctor, or it's that Avodah Zarah, but really it's preordained, it's just preordained to be at that time, and if this guy goes and does it inappropriately, so then it's his loss. Similar discussion, the Gemara says, Amli Rav Bar Yitzchak Rav Yehudi says, Ha'ika beis avodis gechavim ba'asr. There's a house of idol worship in our place, in our location, in our city. Dechi mitzdarach alma lemitra, when the world needs rain, so meschazlu bechalma, so this idol appears to its worshippers in a dream, ba'amlu, and he says to them, Shachatu li gavra, slaughter for me a person, Vaisumitra, and rain's going to come. And Shachtula Gavra, they find some victim and they kill him. Vaisumitra, and rain comes. How's it possible? Idol, we know idol worship has no power. So Malay says to him, Hashta Ihavashchim, he says, you know, now had I died, I would never have told you this teaching of Rab, but now that you asked this question, I could teach you this teaching. What does it mean the Pasuk in the Varm? This in Perek Dal Pasuk Yetes, the Pasuk there says that lest you lift up your eyes to the heaven and you're going to see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the heavenly constellations and you're going to be pushed and you're going to go ahead and worship those constellations. Asher chalak Hashem lekecha isam l'chol ha'amim, which Hashem, your God, has divided them to all the nations of the world. What does that Pasuk mean? What does it mean that these are things that are allowed to be worshipped by the non-Jews and just the Jews not? No one's allowed to worship by the Zara. What does it mean Hashem separated these things for all the people? So on that says Rav, this word chalak could also be translated malamet shechlikin bedvarm, that Hashem allowed the nations of the world to make a mistake. The word machlik means to slip. And the reason why he did this, could they letardim in the oilim, so said that we, these wicked people should be chased out from the world. He gave them that ability to make this mistake. But the truth is that, like we said before, this is not the Avodah Zarah that's bringing the rain. It's Hashem that's bringing the rain. But he does it in a way that allows people to make that mistake where the idol comes and makes them the cronkite to think, oh, must be the Avodah Zarah, when really it's not. Behind the Mishlakish, that's what the Shlakish says. What does it mean the Pasuk in Mishlei? Imla Leitzim, if a person wants to go to the cynics, who yalitz, so he'll become a cynic. He's allowed to. Hashem lets it. Ulanav mitin chayin. But if it's for the humble ones, then he'll get grace. What this means to say is the same idea. If someone comes to make himself impure, they open up the door. You want to go out? You can go out. We're not stopping. You want to go to the cynics? Hashem allows that. You want to go ahead and believe that this avodah has power? Hashem lets it. But the other way is even stronger. If someone comes to purify himself, he comes to the humble ones, it's like yitin chein, Hashem gives him grace. They actually, from heaven, they assist the person, which is even a greater level, but to become tamei, they allow, and that's the same idea. If someone wants to make the mistake, Hashem allows the person to slide and to slip and make the erroneous mistake, that there is something of substance that Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which now segues from what we've been discussing up until now, from Avodah Zarah proper, to the subcategories, that of Yai Nesach, which we had mentioned previously, which is a subcategory, which is when a non-Jew goes and does a nasicha, a libation of wine for the idol, so it becomes prohibited as a tikraivis of Avodah Zarah. But there's an additional gezeira, which is called stam yenon, that any wine that was handled by the non-Jew, we assume that he had been doing something for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, and therefore that wine is forbidden. But when is it considered wine to be considered yayin nesach? Because there's grapes, grape juice. When is it the juice turned into wine to be considered yayin nesach? That's how Mishnah discusses. So says the Mishnah, Loikhin gaz bu'uta. A Jew could purchase a pressed wine press, meaning that the non-Jew, the idol worshiper, had already pressed the grapes and stepped on it, which is the first process in creating wine, in the wine press, which they step on it. A Jew could buy that pressed wine press from the grapes they already pressed, min ha'evid kechavim, from the idol worshippers. And an additional chiddush in this is, a novelty is, ava pishu naital, and even if the non-Jew was taking grapes from what's already in becoming wine in that whole pile of the wine press, which there's the peels and sediments and the wine's coming out from it there in the wine press, even if the non-Jew is taking bunches of the grapes, biyadi with his hands, v'noisin l'tapuch, and he's putting into this pile, which is they had right on the top of the wine press, they would put a whole pile of the grapes, which a lot of the juice was squeezed out when they stepped on it, but not all of it came out, so they would put it on the pile, and then it would ooze out, and then additionally they would put a beam on it to squeeze out whatever juice is left in there. That's called the tapuach. It's like a term of like a pile. Now, the reason is because the Tana of our Mishnah holds ve'ino oisi yayin nesach, because it cannot be made into yayin nesach, or the wine of libations, achayerid labar, until it goes down into the pit, which is that they would have a wine press. In the bottom of the wine press, there was a pipe taking it to another area called a cistern, a pipe. That was the area where it would ferment into wine. When it reaches the pit, then it's qualified as wine to become yayin nesach. But beforehand, even though the juice is out there and he's putting his hands in, which generally if a non-Jew stirs wine with his hands, we give it the halach of yayin nesach. Here, that's not going to be the case because it's not in the bar yet. But continues the Mishnah, yared labar, if the wine already went down, the grape juice already went down into the cistern, into the pit, which is not where they would press it, but then that one which the pipe would take it to, then mashab bar asr, whatever's in the pit itself in the cistern is forbidden, meaning if when it's already in the pit, the non-Jew touches it, then it can become asr. Where again, as we said, that this pit was in front of the wine press, and there was a vessel that would accept the wine over there in the cistern, where additionally Rashi points out there are those who would smear their pits with lime, and that would keep the wine protected inside, where no drop would get lost, even to get absorbed into the ground itself, which that's the term we find like a Mishnah Masechtas Avos, Bar Sid She'inim Abatipa, where it's a lime pit, which doesn't lose even the drop, because the lime keeps it in. So whatever's in the pit could now become Asr, but Vashar Mutter, whatever is the rest, which has not yet come down the pipe from the wine press into the pit, that wine that's still there is going to be permitted. Continues the Mishnah related on this halacha. Derchin ima oivit kechavim bagas. A Jew is allowed to press the grapes with the non-Jew, the idolater, with his grapes in his wine press. What does that halacha come to teach? Two ideas. First of all, we don't say that it's problematic of the Jew benefiting from isui hana, from something that's prohibited to have benefit from it. Because essentially you would say this is yayin nesach. You don't have benefit from the wine of a non-Jew. And here a Jew is working with that wine, and he's not allowed to get benefit, which is to get paid for the work doing it. Here that doesn't apply, because actually the Tana of our Mishnah holds that actually the Jew would even be able to drink that wine in the wine press, because as long as it doesn't go down to the bar, it's not yayin nesach. A second chiddush in this halacha is that there's a prohibition of making produce tamei. Here you don't have that problem of causing the wine to become tummy, because the moment that the non-Jew started the work, we're talking about that the Jew could assist him, but the non-Jew already started pressing the grapes with his own feet. The moment he starts pressing it and the juice starts coming out, the non-Jew already made it tummy. So now the Jew's not making tummy, it's already tummy. So there's no problem about making it tummy. Additionally, there's no problem about, which we'll see in contrast to a Jew who's not, he doesn't keep the appropriate halacha. In the non-Jew, there's no problem about what's called misayeya yidei avera, assisting a sinner. Because a non-Jew is not commanded not to make the wine tamei. A Jew is. Non-Jew is not. So non-Jew is not doing a sin. So once he does it, he's not even contributing to a sinner, because the non-Jew is not doing a sin, and he's not making it tamei because it's already tamei. Therefore, he could go ahead and press the grapes with the non-Jew, with the idol worshiper, in his wine press. Now, as it continues to Medbeis, however, the Mishnah continues, Avaloi Beitz Nimai, but he's not allowed to harvest, meaning to pick the grapes off the vines with him. The reason for that is because what are they going to do with these grapes? They're going to put it into the wine press, which is tummy. And therefore, ultimately, the Jew is contributing to causing these grapes to become tummy, because putting it into the wine press is for the purposes of stepping on it. And when they step on it, that's when the juice comes out, that's when it becomes susceptible to tumah, and then it's going to be tummy. Because as Rashi points out, before it's pressed, meaning the whole problem about harvesting is because ultimately it will become tummy when it's pressed. But before it's actually pressed, it's not susceptible to tumma, because we assume that it was not yet became vulnerable to tumma, because it has to be in contact with one of several liquids, which includes the grape juice, but the grape juice is not out when you harvest, it's just the grape itself. Now, although the Gemara tells us on Lama Tesma Beis that Habitu Lagas Hochstra, if someone just harvests the grapes for the wine press, but it's not in the wine press yet, it is already susceptible to Tumah. That says Rashi, that's only if we know for sure that it came in liquid when at the time of the harvesting. But or else we don't assume so, and therefore there wouldn't be any problem. But the problem is because ultimately it's going to contribute to Tumah when it's going to be put into the wine press. Therefore, Jews are not allowed to harvest it because the Tanna of Mishnah holds it's forbidden to cause Tumah to Chulin, even unconsecrated produce, in Eretz Yisrael. Now, related to this halacha, says the Mishnah, which is a contrast in regards to one of the halachas that we mentioned before of the non-Jew, is Yisrael Shu Eiser, regarding a Jew who he does work with his produce bitumah, in a state of Tumah. So, as we said before, according to the Tanna of Mishnah, he's a sinner because he's commanded not to make the produce tummy. So therefore, says the Mishnah, loy darch, by him, you're not allowed to press with him the grapes. Because pressing the grapes is a sin because it's being done in an impure wine press. So therefore, the pressing is the primary thing that's making it tummy because that's when it becomes into a liquid and then the grapes become susceptible to tumma through that liquid of the grape juice that's coming out. So it's becoming tummy through the wine press, and it's forbidden to contribute and assist a sinner. Rather, you have to separate from that Jew so that he doesn't get accustomed to doing this sin of causing his produce to become tummy. Now, that's in contrast to the previous halacha of when he is allowed to press the grapes in the wine press of a non-Jew, because the non-Jew is not a sinner, because he's not commanded not to make tummy, but his fellow Jew who's not keeping the halacha is a sinner, and therefore he's not allowed to press with him, and additionally, like we said, you're not allowed to harvest with him, which you can't even do with the non-Jew, because that the Jew is going to be contributing towards the tumma. Aval, but, even in regards to a Jewish sinner, he could help him transport empty barrels, ligas, to the wine press, so that you could fill it up from there. And he could help transport and bring with him the full barrels, minhagas, from the wine press, because that's not a part of the primary sin. Because once it became tummy in the wine press, you're allowed to put the wine into tummy barrels. Yeah, all his stuff are tummy, but it's already tummy anyway. So it's not in the primary act of the pressing. That you can't assist him. Neither in the harvesting, which is a prelude to that. But the barrels, which are just once it's already wine, that's already tummy. There's no problem about bringing barrels to or fro the wine press because it's already tummy. There's no problem about putting it in the barrels. That's also tummy. A similar halacha, the Mishnah says, Nachtim shu oise betumah. A baker who makes his bread in a state of impurity. So you're not allowed to help contribute to that iser. Now, the primary part of that iser is loy losh, not allowed to knead, because that's when it becomes susceptible with the water and with the flour. So you're not allowed to knead. V'loy orchen yimai, neither can you even braid with him, because the braiding is an extension of the kneading. It's part of that whole act of mixing the water and the flour and then putting it together. That's assisting him in the primary sin of making a tummy. Av malichin yimai pas lapal, to be allowed to go ahead and transport for him the bread to the baker who goes and bakes the bread, that's already a totally different act. That's already needed, already was the contribution of the water into the flour, which made a tummy. Now everything else is nothing to do with that related act, and therefore you go ahead and transport it. Now, halacha that will relate back to halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Yayin, regarding wine, kivin shehischa lehimashich, once it starts to flow, now, what does it mean it's going to start to flow? Because they would make their wine presses on an incline. That or decline, where when they would press it, the moment that part of the pressing was that it should flow down to the bottom, and then the bottom there's a pipe which would take it to the cistern. So that says Rav Huna, from the moment it starts flowing from the top to the bottom, it's already considered wine because it's already separated from the pulp, and therefore Isiyai Nesach, at that point already, if a non-Jew would go and do something to it, which we're always concerned that it's regarding the sacrifice of a desire, he's doing it for the intention of his idol, it would already make it into Yayin Nesach. That is the Gemara Tznan, Berlin, our Mishnah, that says, Loikchim gaz bu'utim en o'evik achavim. A Jew is allowed to purchase even a pressed pile of grapes and the grape juice that's in the wine press from an idol worshipper. And we said even more than that, Vavapisha notl b'yadu b'nosl tabuch, even though he already stuck in his hands and he took grapes from that grape juice in the wine press and he put it onto that big pile of the grapes, grape peels and all that on the surface, you could still buy that from him. But why? That's already, if he's taking out the grapes, that means to say the grape juice, most of it had already flown down to the bottom. And according to Rav Huna, that already could be made into Yayin Nesach. So if he stuck in his hand and he did that activity, then it should be problematic. How could you buy that, according to our Mishnah, from the non-Jew? So Rav Huna explains the halacha of our Mishnah is begas pekuka. It's talking about that the wine press is closed, it's stuffed up. Meaning that pipe that's on the bottom that flows to the cistern is closed up. So the liquid can't flow down because there's nowhere for it to go. It's plugged up. Moreover, umaleya, the vat, the wine press is full with grapes. So there's nowhere for the wine to go anywhere. It can't move. Wherever it was pressed, that's where the grape juice stays. So therefore it didn't flow. And that's why you could buy the grape juice from this wine press, even if the non-Jew would put his hands in, because it never went anywhere. But if it was unplugged, and even though it didn't go into the bar yet, then it would be forbidden. But on that, the Gemara has touched him out. Well, the Mishnah continues. Mishnah says, "V'ein oisi yain nesach," it cannot become forbidden as wine of the libations of the non-Jew, "ache yerid labar," until it goes into the pit, which sounds like, but even if it was flowing, we're not concerned, because it's not yet in the pit, which contradicts Ravuna. So the Gemara, "Hachanami," here also, the Mishnah Tumam, "begas pekuka maleya." It's talking about where it's stuffed up and it's full, but didn't we just say that in the first part? On that, the Mishnah would be teaching another element, where regarding a wine press that's full, it's teaching you that there is no flow until you take out the plug from the bottom, which allows the wine to flow, and then, once it starts to flow, then it's going to be forbidden. And that the Gemara continues asking for my Mishnah. Toshma, the Mishnah continues and says, "Yared labar," if the wine went down into the cistern, into the vat, then masha babar asa, whatever's in the pit is forbidden. Vashar mutter, and the rest, which is still in the wine press, is permitted. But here, obviously, the wine started to go down, and it's flowing, because it said that some of it already went into the pit. And still it says what's in the wine press is permitted. That clearly contradicts Ravuna. Says the Gemara, Ravuna would tell you, you're right, but like Kach, not a difficulty. Khan b'mishnah rishayna. Our Mishnah is going like the original Mishnaic text. Khan b'mishnah achrayna. My halacha is based on the subsequent Mishnaic text. The Tanakh Linda Bryce said that actually there was two phases in this halacha. B'rishayna hayu imrim bedat. Originally, they said the halacha was the mnemonic of Beis Dalet Dalet. What is Beis Dalet Dalet? It refers to three halachas in this context. The first base is ein beitzrin ima'ivik kachavim begas. You're not allowed to harvest, like we said in the Mishnah, with a non-Jew for the wine press. And as Rashi points out, that halacha would be additionally for a Jew who also does his produce in a state of tumah, as we said in the Mishnah. It's just that regarding a Jew, actually, it's more severe that you actually can't even press with him. And now the reason why you can't harvest with a non-Jew for the wine press is sha'asar ligim tumah l'chulin shabayetz Yisrael, because you're not allowed to cause tumah for even unconsecrated produce that's in Eretz Yisrael. And here, the harvesting is causing tumah, because ultimately the point of the harvesting is, like we said, it's for the purposes of bringing it to the wine press, which the wine press is tummy. So therefore, the Beis is telling you now to harvest with a Jewish shinner or a non-Jew, because it's going to make the chulin produce in Eretz Yisrael tummy. The Dalet is, ve'ein darichin im Yisrael, you're not allowed to press, do the actual pressing of the grapes in the wine press with a Jew, sha'isa peresa betumah, that makes his peres in a state of tumah, because sha'asa l'sayei, the ivri averi, you're not allowed to assist a sinner, like we said before, which actually is only for the Jewish and not for the non-Jew, because the non-Jew doesn't have the averi, it's not one of the shemets b'nei noyach. A Jew is not allowed to make a tumah, another Jew cannot assist him in pressing the actual wine, even though that Jew started, but you're assisting him. The last Dalet is, like we just pointed out, but you could press the grapes with the non-Jew in his press, and the reason is because since it already became tame, a non-Jew, like we said, is not causing a sin because he wasn't commanded, so that's permitted. But additionally, what this teaching us is, and this was the original Mishnaic text, like it is in our Mishnah, that v'loy cheshinu l'ravuna, and that we're not concerned for Ravuna's halacha, which should make it forbidden because the Jew is benefiting from isrui hanah. Why? Because the moment it started flowing, Rav Huna held, okay, forget about making tameh. So you're not making tameh, he already made tameh, and there's no problem to say yedei aveir aveir. But it started flowing. When you're pressing it, it's flowing, and he's going to get paid for that work and for work that he did with Yayin Esel, because it's flowing already, even though it's still in the wine press and it didn't go into the bar, into the cistern, still, according to Rav Huna, that's already Yayin Esel. The Mishnah Rishon was not concerned with that because they held, right, not like Rav Huna, that it's not considered wine until it goes into the cistern. But that, says Rav Huna, that was only the Mishnah Rishonah, like it's recorded in our Mishnah. But like the Brisa tells us, V'chazru leime devav, that's the Gersa. But then they ultimately retracted and they said the mnemonic of Dalet Veis Veis, which is, the first Dalet is, Ein darichin ima'ivik kacham bagas. That they ultimately switched that. That one is not allowed to press the grapes in the wine press with the non-Jew in his wine press. Mishum de Rav Huna, because of the Allah Rav Huna. Forget about making tamei. No, that's not the problem. The non-Jew already made tamei, and there's no problem to say they're vera vera. But there's a problem about that he's getting benefit. He's getting paid for work that he did with forbidden items. What's forbidden? It's still in the wine press because it started flowing. And even though it's still in the gas, it already becomes yayin nesach and asa bahana. So again, that's like Rav Huna was saying. So the Mishnah Achrayna, which is Haz Halacha, does say like him. Now, as the Gemara continues, the first vase then of the Vav is ve'ein baitrim im Yisrael sha'isid peyresa b'tumah. Like we said before, neither are you allowed to even harvest with a Jewish sinner who does his produce in the state of tumah v'kol shekein shein darchin. And of course, you can't press with him because these two exercises, these activities, are causing this item to become tumah. Now, although, and this is what the last part of the Brayse is going to point out, although now in the Mishnah Achrayna we hold that actually is permitted to cause tumah to unconsecrated produce, meaning to regular chulin, unlike the Mishnah Rishayin who held that it's also ligim tumah b'chulin shaberetz as well. Mishnah Achrayna actually held you allowed to cause tumah to chulin into chulin eretz Yisrael because that's actually the next halacha of the Brayse that the second vase teaches you. Aval baitchin im evikacham bagas, but your lada press the grapes with the non-Jew in the wine press. Why? Shemutu ligrim tumah l'chulin shaberetz Yisrael. Because you are allowed to contribute and to cause tumah to chulin in Eretz Yisrael, meaning even the betzira, which our Mishnah said you're not allowed to be baitzer. The Mishnah Achrayna says you're allowed to do the harvesting. Where that's not just assisting him, that the Jew himself is going to be contributing to the tumah because he's picking it and he's going to put it into the wine press, which that's the primary thing that's going to be causing it to become tummy. And that says the Braisa ultimately, Mishnah Achrayna says, is permitted because you are allowed to cause tumah to chulin Eretz Yisrael. But that is, so why is it also to do harvesting with a Jewish sinner? It's because the permissibility was only with a non-Jew. But in regards to a Jew, his chulin is different than regular chulin. Because his chulin is tevel, was untithed. It wasn't processed yet. Now, in the tevel has truma elements, because he's going to ultimately separate truma from there. It's forbidden to cause tuma to truma. And that's because, like the pasuk says, "Vani hini nasati l'chayas mishmeris trumaisi." Hashem says, "Behold, I'm going to give you the safeguard of my trumais." It says in the plural. What's these two trumais? Which one is in the state of tara, one in the state of tuma. So you're not allowed to cause it truma to become tuma, even if it was tavel a truma. It's still untithed because the truma is in there somewhere. So you're not allowed to harvest with the Jewish sinner, and for sure you can't press with him because the pressing is literally making a tuma, and you're assisting the sinner, and therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and harvest and for sure not press the grapes with the Jewish sinner because it's not like regular chulin, like by the non-Jews. It has, because a non-Jew doesn't take off trumas and maises. The Jew will, and that's causing tumah to the trumas and maises. Therefore, one's not allowed to do that. But one thing is that, like the Gemara answers for Rav Huna, that although our Mishnah contradicts him, that's like the Mishnah Rishayin, the Mishnah Achrayin ultimately retracted from two different halachas. But the one Rav Huna is talking about is that it becomes wine immediately when it starts flowing, not only when it goes into the bar, into the cistern. And therefore, it could become Yayin Nesach, even within the bar, when the gas itself.